Welcome, everybody. The Board of Education meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Mrs. Tucker, roll call, please.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Mr. Bondack?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Towers?
Here.
Mr. Glass?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Here. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, to our regular business board meeting. We hold them twice a month. We have business tonight as well as public participation. I also want to welcome, and without embarrassing him too much, at least one Glenn Bard West student who is here from one of our AP government classes who is here to observe the meeting tonight. We have that happen periodically, so I'm glad we have a busy meeting for him to observe, which is wonderful. So welcome, Eric, to the meeting. We'll first do public participation. Are there any members of the public present who wish to address the board at this time? We welcome your comments, but ask that they be limited to 3 minutes. If your comments have substantially been reflected in the comments of those previous to you, we would ask in the interest of time that you would mention that, forego making the comments, but please provide written material that you may have. And Mrs. Maureen Stecker, if you could raise your hand, Maureen, will collect those for us so that the board can get copies of that as well. Right, so I know that some of you filled out green forms coming in. Thank you so much for doing that so we can have that read into the record, recorded into the record at all. If there are some seats in front, please, welcome. Maureen, if you could call.
Jeff Cooper.
Good evening, Board. I have got a little confused today.
Mr. Cooper, would you like to use the podium with that?
No, I'll speak louder.
Yes, thank you.
I'm a little confused tonight. My confusion stems from my understanding of the district and the board's relationships with the public is the superintendent is selected by the board and is to carry out the board's wishes. The board is supposed to be, in most cases, elected by the general public and is supposed to carry out the wishes of the general public, the taxpayers, the ones that pay for this building, all the others. And the general public, us, are supposed to have our wishes followed because we pay ungodly amounts of money to this district. 15 years on my part. I haven't been here for a while. I've been here for about a year and a half since I tried to help out with the contract. And I see that the teacher's contract, and I see that that didn't go very well at all. And it's unfortunate. And I hope next time that I offer my services to help out with the next contract, that you should stand up and let a member of the public help you, because this time you got it really stuck to you by the. But getting back to tonight's.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. You got stuck to the.
You got it stuck to you. Okay,
okay.
Teachers union.
I just couldn't
one
hear.
Big, the teachers union won big time again. Okay, and we're paying big time for you guys. I don't want to get off my point, but for you guys to go ahead and think that there's some kind of a victory by paying teachers and making $100,000, $700 for every year that they work in this district when they retire and get a check for $30,000 or up to $40,000. That's crazy. But getting back to tonight's point about land purchase, I think most of us are here because we don't want it. It's that simple. Therefore, the board should go ahead and adhere to our thoughts and wishes, and we should go ahead later on when the superintendent wants to go ahead and push this thing and purchase land. It shouldn't happen.
1 minute.
It's that simple. It shouldn't happen. If it does happen, I think you're going to see a lot of these people back here again until the thing gets defeated. We don't want to waste our money on attorneys. We don't want to force a college to sell us land they don't want to. We don't want any of that. We don't need to build a school. We don't have an increasing population of students that would necessitate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Maureen?
Kurt Tillman.
Hi, thanks for hearing. I said a few words last Wednesday night and would like to say a few more, a little bit more briefly. But first of all, as the last couple of commenters said last Wednesday, thank you for the time you put in. And as someone who grew up in District 41 and whose father and aunts and uncles grew up in District 41 and whose kids all went to District 41, We have all received an exemplary education in this district. Having said that, I'm also an alum of Wheaton College and know from a variety of sources that Wheaton College has no intentions of selling the property on College Avenue, and they see this property as core to the educational mission of the school moving forward, and they've felt that way for decades. And I think there are a number of scenarios that could develop if the district pursues eminent domain. One is that District 41 wins the proceedings, and they win on the appeal, which is almost inevitable, and they get a favorable price from a jury, and yet there will still be expensive legal fees, there will still be potentially years spent in litigation, and District 41 will have lost the goodwill of at least a significant portion of the voters next time a referendum comes around. Or the college successfully defends against eminent domain, in which case, again, District 41 loses time and money and perhaps even greater goodwill. Or, as was the case in the Indian Prairie District in Naperville, the court actually rules that the school district has to pay legal fees on behalf of the property owners, the current property owners. Or District 41 wins eminent domain, receives a favorable price, brings all of this to the voters, and then the voters vote it down. I think were that the case, I think the district would pay for a well-intended but significant strategic error for a long time to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dale Kemp.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Dale Kemp, and I'm the Vice President for Finance at Wheaton College. Wheaton College was established in 1861 by a charter of the Illinois Legislature. Among other rights conferred by the state of Illinois in the charter, the college was authorized to acquire and to hold property in perpetuity. During its 153-year history, the college has gradually and strategically acquired its property surrounding of its initial campus to serve its educational and religious purposes. Over 15 years, the college has purchased parcels comprising of the 15-acre East Campus. Over the past year, the district has expressed interest in obtaining Wheaton's East Campus. In response to the district's inquiries, the college has communicated that we're not interested. I want to restate tonight that our East Campus property is not for sale, so it does not make sense for the board to pass this resolution on tonight's agenda to make an offer to Wheaton College for the East Campus. Wheaton has reviewed the district's recent appraisal of the East Campus property. The appraisal is fundamentally flawed. Most notably, the appraisal used allegedly comparable sales located in Aurora, Warrenville, Itasca, Lombard, and Glendale Heights, but not in Wheaton or in Glen Ellen. The allegedly comparable sales had also had different land use and zoning requirements, and three of the five were only 5 acres or fewer in size. Thus, the sites lacked the critical mass and the desirable location of Wheaton's East Campus. Finally, the district's appraisal completely ignores Wheaton College's recent purchase of 5.3 acres Wheaton Christian Grammar School for approximately $8 million. Relying on distant comparable sales and ignoring the former Wheaton Christian Grammar School property, which is relatively close to the East Campus, does not provide the East Campus fair value. Considering the Wheaton Christian Grammar School sale, the value of Wheaton's 15-acre East Campus is considerably more, and this exceeds $20 million. It also seems that the district is abusing its eminent domain power and ignoring Wheaton's legal protections under its charter and under state and federal law as a religious institution. An eminent domain action would expose the district and its taxpayers to the high cost of litigation and reimbursing the college for its legal fees, as experienced recently by the Indian Prairie School District 204, which was previously mentioned. It seems well worth the district's effort to explore its constituents' views regarding the district's needs and other options. As you know, at last week's community forum, numerous local residents uniformly and unequivocally opposed the building of a new junior high school on Wheaton's East Campus property and provided thoughtful input to the district regarding its other options. Wheaton College will defend vigorously itself against any attempt on the district to take our East Campus by eminent domain. We encourage you to listen to our objections and to the objections expressed by many others within the district's community. Please vote no on this resolution. Reconsider your course and implement other cost-effective alternatives to address the significant facility issues I know that you face. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kemp.
David Eslinga?
Yes, this is all right.
Thank you.
My name is Dave Eslinga. I live in the District 41, a longtime resident. I did not graduate from Wheaton College, but I do have a great deal of respect for the college. I attended the forum that was held last week, and I think it was pretty clear that the college is not interested in selling the property to the school district, and I guess Mr. Kemp reiterated that tonight. So I question the point of passing this resolution that you would pursue making another offer. I am not in favor of the school district going to eminent domain because it could be very costly and we could lose, and it's a risk I don't feel the school district should be taking. I guess I would question, where is the support for this beyond just the school board? There was not one person that spoke up at the forum in favor of what the board planned to do. And so I wonder where you are getting the information that there are a lot of residents in favor of what the board is pursuing, or if this is just your own initiative without any sense of if the public is behind you that live within Glenelg. So I would appreciate it if you would reconsider your decision that you would not pass this resolution, and that us taxpayers here in Glenelg would not have to pay for something that's not going to result in anything good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mark Taylor.
Good evening. My name is Mark Taylor. I was also at the forum the other night and spoke briefly. Mr. Kemp has referred to the appraisal that was done of perhaps comparable or perhaps not comparable properties. I wanted to apprise you of the fact that I sold a one-acre piece of property only one-tenth of a mile away from Wheaton College's East Campus. This property is located on East Prairie Avenue in Wheaton, just to the west of the Wheaton College property. The property was sold in November. 1 acre sold for $475,000. So if you extrapolate that out to 15 acres, that comes out to between $7 and $8 million. But as you know, there are not many open 15-acre pieces of property available, which means that 15 acres all in one piece is probably valued at substantially more than simply taking a 1 acre comparable price and multiplying it by 15. So I also would encourage you to abandon your plans for pursuing the Wheaton College property. Mr. Kemp has already indicated it's not for sale. You would have to go through an eminent domain process, and that's going to be very expensive. And ultimately, I don't think it will work out for you. Now, if you're intent on pursuing eminent domain, I have another idea for you. There's already a school building just west of downtown Glen Ellyn. It's run by St. Petronell's. Why don't you take that over by eminent domain? And you can have a school building that's up and running, ready to go. Obviously, I'm being facetious. It's entirely inappropriate for a public school board to go after a private educational institution's property by eminent domain. It would be inappropriate to go after St. Pet's, and it's inappropriate to go after Wheaton College. Thanks.
Thank you. Maureen?
R. Owens?
My name is Art Ellingson. I live in Arlington Heights. Several years ago, I attended a several-month-long training class at Harper College because I was running for the school board, and we were being taught school board law. And after the first week or two, they wouldn't ask me any questions, allow me to ask questions, because I'd already asked so many embarrassing questions in the first couple of classes, they didn't like me. Questions I would ask, for example, they taught us, if you want to visit a school, we want you to give the principal 2 days' notice. And I said, where is that in the statute? And they hemmed and hawed and finally admitted it wasn't in the statute. And I said, you know, when I was in the Navy, we used to get 6-8 weeks' notice that some admiral or some senator was going to inspect our ship. We had 6-8 weeks to paint it and make it look really spiffy. And I thought, you know, if I was going to run for Congress or for the Senate, I would hop on a plane Friday afternoon, I'd fly to San Diego, and I'd say, I want to inspect that ship in 10 minutes. And I got a standing ovation from several hundred potential school board members up at Harper College. And over and over, we caught them teaching us stuff that the educators, the teachers' unions, wanted us to hear, but weren't in the statute. And so I sort of became a professional amateur rabble-rouser in my community, trying to wake people up to stuff that was going on. And later on, a whole bunch of rabble-rousers got together and formed a group called the Tea Party. So I noticed there was no Tea Party in Arlington Heights, so I started one. We frequently have people from as far away as Wyoming, Illinois, visit us. We have people from Zion. We have people from Fox Lake. We're one of the biggest groups around. But I know that when we attend meetings like this, we would have had today a lot more people, not only from Arlington Heights, but from the West Suburban DuPage County Tea Parties, except tomorrow's election day. And a lot of folks are out knocking on doors and ringing doorbells for the election tomorrow. But this community is totally against this project. My connection with Wheaton College is that I became a Christian back in 1966 because my liberal denomination had a professor from seminary up in Minnesota who couldn't make it due to a snowstorm. And our Pentecostal Presbyterian youth director, graduate of Wheaton College, invited another Wheaton College graduate to speak to our group on the weekend I became a Christian. So I have a very firm affinity with Wheaton College.
30 seconds, please.
And as the last speaker talked about, you know, taking over a Catholic school or a Lutheran school or whatever kind of religious school, any kind of religious school, it seems to me would be a violation not only of morals and common sense, but a violation of the First Amendment of the freedom of religion. So I would encourage you to drop this idea. And if you need to expand somewhere, look somewhere else. Thank you.
Thank you. That's it? No other? Is there anybody else who wish to present tonight, make comment to the board? We have another. There is, please, when you're done, if you could fill out one of the green forms that's in the, go ahead and okay. Introduce yourself and then fill out the form just so we can have your name for the record.
All right.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Corey Bakken. I'm a 5-year resident of the district. I do have a 5-year-old who's getting ready to enter the schools. I can't speak to the appropriateness of whether or not eminent domain is the right way to go about this or whether or not this property is the right property. What I can say is that I look at these schools and I see that there's trailers out there. I don't want my kids going to school in these trailers. I know a lot of people haven't been standing up saying that they want this. We do. So that's all I needed to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Corey. Okay, anybody else? Yes. And again, if you haven't filled out a green form, if you could do that so that we have your name and information for our records.
Sure.
Thank you.
Diane Spurgeon. I was at the meeting last week also. Just a couple of things that I'd like to point out, and I don't know if we're allowed to question the board at this point. Last week, someone asked a question. They wanted to know how much it was set aside in the way of funds for any of the legal fight that's going to happen. There was no answer. I also asked, what is the cost that this school will be? Both the land, the school, the staffing. I was told we don't choose to disclose this at that time. Can you tell us when that will be disclosed so the taxpayers will know what they're looking at in the way of raised taxes?
You asked just a minute ago whether or not the board engages in conversation. This is a regular business meeting for the board, so we provide public participation now and then also at the end of the meeting. And Mrs. Stecker is taking verbatim notes so that we can have record and then provide information back so that the board can discuss it and respond to you.
Okay.
So,
thank you. And the last point I'd just like to make is that when someone asked at the end of the meeting last week who was in favor, one person raised their hand, and they were a board member. That was it. So please reconsider. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, Jen?
I'm Jennifer Malik. I have two children in District 41. I was not going to speak, but I agree with this father as a fifth grader, or a five-year-old coming in. Both of my children spent 4 years in the portables. It's unacceptable in this community to have our kids in trailers any longer. I don't want to take on a fight with Wheaton College, but I disagree that everyone in this room is against this. A lot of us are here just to listen. So it's not fair to say that we're here because we don't agree.
Thank you. Yes.
My name is Amanda. I apologize. I wasn't prepared to talk, and I only learned about this situation yesterday. But I am a neighbor directly of the property.
Can I have your last name?
Roberts.
Thank you.
And I listened to both your points, and I think they're valid that there needs to be another option. But I disagree that infringing on Wheaton College's rights is necessarily that. And I just would hope that every option would have already been explored in terms of expanding an existing school, whatever that may be. And I would hope to be provided with more information. Maybe somebody could direct me to who could give us that information. But again, I'm a neighbor who would be directly affected, and I don't support it, and I know many of my neighbors would not either. I see another one of my neighbors here as well. So that's what I'd like to say.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And again, just to make sure we have name and address, there's a green form in the entryway for you to fill out when we're done. Okay. Yes.
My name is Don Sutherland. I live across the street from Lincoln School. I would like to ask what's inadequate about the property size or whatever it is about the current property that up at Hadley School.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hadley in particular.
Well, that's where the current school is.
Current junior high, correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else? And again, we'll have time at the end of the meeting for further comment. Yes.
My name is Matt Mazza. I'm a 46-year resident of District 41. Just a simple question. Approximately on what date did you decide that this particular property, the Christian property, was an acquisition target? I guess two questions. And if this doesn't pan out, is it your intention to add on to Hadley Junior High School?
Thank you. Thanks very much. All right. Anything else? All right, and again, there'll be time at the end of the meeting also to comment. The board has determined a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity, and the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired. Mrs. Stecker, roll call, please. I'm sorry. My fault. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondrack?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes, thank you. We do not anticipate being closed session for long. Please stay here. There is water available if you'd like something to drink, and there are bathrooms just out this door here to the left, both men and women, and we will be adjourning to Dr. Reebok's office, and we'll be back ASAP.
Sure.
So we'll resume open session now at 8:31. All right. Get back to our regular board meeting presentations, reports, and initiatives.
We have chosen to table our master facility plan presentation for this evening in light of this complex conversation that we've been having and listening to. But we do have our three-year technology plan that we are very pleased to present this evening. And Mike Wood and Christina Kellum, I believe, are going to do that presentation. And Mike is our director of technology, and Christina is our instructional technology specialist.
Okay, and to start off with some of the things we've accomplished over the last 5 years with technology. And over the course of that time, we've had quite a few rollouts, several initiatives, and the landscape of technology has really exploded here and blossomed. So some of the things that we've done 5 years ago was a printer refresh. We replaced all the printers in the district. There's about 317 printers total, desktops, and currently 7 color printers in each location throughout the district. We replaced all of our core switching equipment within the classrooms as well as the cores, giving us greater bandwidth, greater flexibility with that structure, opening up broader highways for internet traffic and local data to ride on. We also included 550 netbooks with the Hadley Junior High for student use that are in circulation right now, as well as 250 desktops for the teachers' use. We did the same at the elementaries last year. We put in 550 laptops for student use and another 245 desktops for teachers, specialists, and office staff. We've also rolled out about 400 iPads across the district, primarily at the grade school level. There's about 30 at the junior high in the library currently, and another 15 that are used for the music program at Hadley. We've also, in a two-phase process, rolled out smart boards and projectors throughout the district. So every large instructional space within the district now has a projector and a smart board as part of the technology suite there. We last summer replaced the wireless infrastructure within the district. Most of the devices that we have now are wireless, so we needed to beef that up, build it out a bit, and update that so it can handle the traffic and the demands that we're going to place upon it, and we're placing upon it right now. We also replaced the new student information system. It aligns with our finance system, which was replaced a few years prior. And I have to give credit where credit is due. Phyllis Ann is really the one that did the lion's share of the heavy lifting and the data manipulation and scheduling the training, but it's been a seamless rollout. I mean, we've had it for about a year now, and it feels like we've had it for years. So much less upkeep than the previous system, and giving us a lot more reporting, a lot more access for teachers, staff, and parents. We also upgraded our internet bandwidth. We previously had 20 meg worth of internet bandwidth, which wasn't even beginning to cut it with all the new devices that we added onto the network, as well as the wireless upgrade. So currently we're at 250 meg, which gives us plenty of overhead and room to build into and continue to add and build on our fleet of devices here. We also replaced and expanded our existing security system, our camera system. So all the grade schools as well as CSL have new servers, new DDRs, and in most cases new cameras as well. So we've got quite a bit of work done over the last 5 years here. Moving forward, just to kind of give you a little insight into the health and wellness of the help desk. We did have a bit of a restructuring with the staff last year, and we noticed, and one of the things that I look at on a regular basis is a few reports, and one of them is the computer lab usage. And one of the concerns was possibly computer lab usage might go down this year. And as it turns out, across the district, in the grade schools, it's actually been up. It's been up about 13%. So it tells me that staff are still using it. They're very comfortable using technology, and they're eager to get more, and they've asked me for more. The other thing we look at are help desk calls. So we have a help desk system. It's online. All staff have access to that. We increased some availability to that site as well. We included a shortcut at every staff member's desktop, so it takes them right to the help desk. It's a quick, easy stop to log a call, trouble ticket, any issue, or even something that we need to be aware of going up into the future. And actually, help desk calls have been way up, 47%. So again, students are using this technology. There's a piece of technology I don't believe it isn't in constant use in our buildings right now. And I think those numbers reflect it. Just last year alone, we did 3,481 calls, as opposed to the 2,345 we did the year before. even this year, we're over 100 above where we were last year at this time. So help desk is busy, and the best thing to report based on that is whenever anybody gets opens a help desk call and we close it, they get an automatic email that's sent to their email. It tells them what the resolution of that call was, and it also gives them an opportunity to fill out a survey, an online kind of satisfaction survey. And our satisfaction rating has been at 96% for the last 3 years. And we get a pretty good response on that, too. We get about a little better than 18% of our teachers that actually respond to that survey when they get that question. So we're very proud of that. I think that's a real testament to the hard work that the support staff do here on a constant basis. So one of the first things I brought to the board this year, and it's actually up for action tonight, is the printer refresh. So we did the previous printer refresh 5 years ago. It was a five-year cycle. We hit the end of that cycle. So at the end of the cycle, these printers go back to the leasing company. We don't retain these. They go back to them. They can deal with the disposal and cost that goes along with it. We've gotten our use out of these printers. So the proposal is for a one-to-one replacement. We have about 317 desktop printers that are in use throughout the district. This will also help to consolidate our hardware platform. Prior, in the previous rollout, it kind of was structured over 2 years. So we did half of them in 2008, it was about 217. And then the following year, we did 100 that kind of rounded out the full fleet throughout the district. And the way I structured that lease was to have them all expire at the same time. So when we replace all of this equipment, we can do it all on one unified platform. So we don't have to mix and match toner. We don't have to worry about service for different models of printer. It's all one platform. And when I was looking at hardware for this proposal here, I was looking at, well, what kind of printers do we really need? I mean, in the past, we've always gotten more of the top-shelf desktop printers. And considering the kind of printing we do and the kind of expectation of printing certainly moving forward, I didn't really see a need for that. So when we looked at printers, it's still a capable printer, but it doesn't have all the bells and whistles necessarily that the printers that we bought previously. So for the entire project prior, it was about a $200,000 cost for hardware alone. And our annual lease payment on that was $50,000 plus. That was for the entire fleet. Moving forward, our proposal is about $110,000 less than that for the hardware. And we're still going to replace by a one-to-one. And for color printers, we'll actually add a color printer in each location. So we'll see some cost savings with that while still getting new equipment. These also would be on a five-year lease. Again, at the end of that lease, we'll get rid of the equipment. The Hadley LMC refresh, as the board already knows, they passed a resolution to go ahead and restructure or remodel the library at Hadley, and with that comes technology as well. The labs at Hadley, as well as in the elementaries, we haven't really upgraded or done anything to the hardware there since 2005, so it's well past time to replace the hardware at Hadley. And then when we were looking at what we were going to replace it with or what that structure was going to look like within the library, Chris Abbott, who's the LMC director there, has been asking me for several years to incorporate more Apple technology into Hadley, which we've done at the grade school, but not as much at Hadley. And he had an interest in investing in Apple technology for his lab, the Media Creation Lab, and then the Art Tech Lab, which is run by Frank Tomaszkiewicz. That also will limp up adjacent to the library. So both of those labs will have Apple technology. The way we spec'd it out was 16 desktops, iMacs, in each lab, so 32 total. And then in the Art Tech Lab, there will be 20 mini iPads for more mobility and give you that one-to-one in that lab. And then in the LMC itself, there will be an additional 100 mini iPads that would be for use in the LMC or would be used also for work in the Media Creation Lab. So, and Chris sees that as being a much more flexible solution, as do I. We're not taking up as much space with as many desktops as we currently have. So a couple of the labs would be eliminated, essentially, and combined into two labs, and then the mobile technology to support both. The other thing they had stressed is they didn't want to print. They didn't want any printing. This would be a completely digital experience, and the work that the students do would also be digital. So we're not including printers as part of the recommendation. It would be an entirely digital rollout for them. And the last thing, while it's not directly related to the Hadley Library, it will impact really everybody at Hadley. As we started a very small and confined Google Apps pilot. So we've got about maybe a dozen teachers that are currently involved in that. And as we move forward, we're looking to expand that next year. By next year, I would hope to have all of our teachers at Hadley and students with a Google Apps account. So as we move forward, our students will be working more digitally. They won't need to print as much. All of their work will be accessible via the web. Any device that is internet-enabled would be able to get to their work, as well as their parents, their teachers. So you wouldn't be confined by I have to get to the school to get it, I have to get my papers. Everything would be available online. So that's something that right now we're piloting, and then next year we would hope to expand that even greater ahead. The elementary LMCs are also due for refresh. This is another area that we haven't touched since 2005, so we've got some really old equipment there. And we were looking at possible replacement models for that. Again, we currently have labs at each elementary, and they all have about 30 desktops in there currently. So when we looked at a replacement for that, rather than getting 30 more desktops and pretty much doing the same thing we've been doing for the last 10 years, we're again looking at more mobile, flexible solutions. So the recommendation is for 38 laptops for each one of the LMCs. It's a total of about 150 laptops total. And then with 38 at each library, they can pretty much do what they need to do with those. They can either use them for large group instruction, they can break them into small groups, they could use some for checkout, self-checkout, they could use some for internet access, or even book browsing on their catalog. And then the existing spaces, the lab spaces, then would be repurposed for other things within the building. So they wouldn't necessarily be the old computer labs anymore. And this technology will also align with the technology that's going to be in the classrooms as well. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. And the next recommendation that I brought to the board, actually the finance committee this evening, was to expand our laptop fleet at the grade schools to bring us more in line with a one-to-one. And what this recommendation will do is bring a one-to-one from our fourth grade all the way to our eighth grade. And this is how we're going to do that. And a big part of this is also most of the assessments that we have right now are online, whether it's math, which we do three times a year, and that window's about 4 weeks per, so that's about 12 weeks where we're doing assessment online, and we need a computer device to be able to do that. But also our COGAS testing is also online now. It went online this year. And in 14-15, we're going to be looking at an online park assessment, which will be the replacement for ISAT. So that's also a very rigorous testing environment where twice a year we're going to be looking at students taking this test that can last anywhere from 8 to 9 hours. So we're going to need to have the equipment to be able to meet those demands. And this recommendation will provide that for us. And the way this will break out is my recommendation is to acquire 1,650 new laptops. And the way those would break down at kindergarten, and 150 iPads as well to balance out and vary the hardware platform. In kindergarten, they'd have 6 laptops and 6 iPads for a total of 12 devices. At first grade, they'd have 8 laptops and 6 iPads for 14 devices. At second grade and third grade, 10 laptops and 3 iPads. And then at fourth and fifth, you'd have 30 laptops and then 3 iPads. And then in the gifted classrooms, there'd be 20 laptops and then 3 iPads. And this is across every section. So every classroom would get that allotment of equipment. And as I said earlier, there were 550 laptops that we had purchased for the grade schools last year. Those 550 laptops would then be moved to Hadley and then combined with the 550 netbooks that we purchased the previous year would give us 1,100 devices at Hadley that we have for student use. And then when you look at the other devices that we currently have and this blending together, the 1,650 laptops for the elementaries plus the LMCs getting 150 laptops for their area. ESL will have 30 laptops that will come over from Hadley that were used in the library previously. And we already have about 400 iPads, or we will have about 400 iPads in the elementary. So that's about 2,230 devices at our elementary schools. And at Hadley, 1,100 devices that we have combined with the laptops and the netbooks, plus 32 desktops in the lab environment, 120 iPads, plus you still have the applied tech class, which has 30, and the music program, which has 15 iPads. It's about 1,297 devices, just under 1,300 it would bring our total fleet for student use up to 3,527 devices. And currently we're at about a little over 3,600 students. So that will get us pretty close to a one-to-one throughout the district. A couple other recommendations that came to me this year, which we hope to do this summer, is the elementary music department that asked for some iPads, which again was aligned with the technology we're using at Hadley. They also have 15 iPads that they're currently using and are interested in more for next year. And so that's what they also put together a proposal, what kind of apps they're going to use, how they plan to use them. It's very detailed. And so I brought that to the board as well as the PE recommendation, and that's going to be phased in two separate phases. In Churchill, if anybody's been in the gym or the multipurpose room, we've got large projectors kind of hit from one wall all the way to the other. So not only could those be used for gym class, regular PE class, but they're used a lot for community events, other events that come up from time to time. So those are also used constantly. So part of that rollout would be projection systems, and that would be what we would hope to do this summer. And then I'll talk about the other half next year, which would be for a sound system, an integrated sound system. And Christina Collins is going to talk a little bit about the VR and the educational benefits.
Good evening. All right, so I'm here to talk about PD around the new technology rollout. At the elementary school, our professional development is really going to be focused in more of a curricular area because we are going to have at the elementary schools next year K-1 teachers, literacy teachers, and STEAM teachers. So our PD is going to be focused kind of around that. And technology professional development isn't really done in a vacuum. It's done in combination with what happens in that curricular area. So I've already been talking to the literacy specialist, the math specialist, as well as the library media specialist to kind of get an idea of exactly what that professional development will look like. So we already have the ball rolling and getting ready for that. In terms of students, they also need to have some orientation to the new technology. As Mike mentioned, we are going to be having a new laptop, an actual physical different version than what we had in there before. So my plan is to make some videos to get the kids oriented to simple things like, hey, where's the on button now? On a laptop, you're never really sure where that is. I also want to teach them a lot of troubleshooting skills. How do you tell whether your wireless is working, that type of thing. And also just general responsibilities, how to take care of your devices, and what are the expectations around access to the Internet. I want to be very clear about that type of information. In our fourth and fifth grades, we are going to have a one-to-one environment, so there will be one laptop that belongs to one student. And I think with that comes a lot of expectations for responsibility on their part. And we want to be clear about that, and so my hope is that these videos will do that. I'm thinking Kellum Academy, but I haven't really decided on the name yet, so I'm still working. Okay, in the Hadley world, it's going to look a little bit different because our rollout there really focuses on different things. For the staff, we're definitely going to need some training on the new lab. That's the media creation lab. And Mr. T's new lab, he's thinking about calling it the imaging lab. So I don't know if you've heard that name before, but that's what he's been using. So we need to help staff understand how that new iMac environment will work and what's the benefit of that environment and kind of get them comfortable with it. Also, the Google Apps that Mike mentioned. Now, I don't know if you all are familiar with Google Apps. We basically have created our own domain of Google products. So that's a combination of Google Docs, which is probably what you're most familiar with, the ability to create text documents, presentations, spreadsheets, that type of thing. But it also includes Google Sites, which is more of a website creation type tool. And also, we are going to be giving the students Gmail. Now, the Gmail accounts will be limited to that Google domain within our school, and also the ability to email teachers. But there will be no using Gmail to email outside of our domain. So our teachers are going to need to have a good understanding of what Google Apps brings to their curricular area. And we're also going to need to talk to students and to parents about what this new environment looks like. So as far as students, they're going to need to know how to use the Google Apps environment. And also, I want to implement a student-oriented AUP, which is an acceptable use policy. It needs to be put in student terms and to help them understand, again, what our expectations are around the use of technology within the schools. Mike mentioned that it's a one-to-one environment. And in our first year of our rollout, it's one-to-one in the sense that we have devices equivalent to the number of students. In the following year, it's going to be a true one-to-one, which is where the device actually is handed to the student, and that student has the ability to take that device home as well. Which brings us to parent education. Parents are our partners in this rollout, and it's important that the parents have a good understanding of why we're doing what we're doing and what we are asking the students to be responsible for. And then we're also there to help parents understand how this new environment affects their home life. So the first step of that is to make sure that the parents understand our AUPs, the ones that are signed when your students come to school, and also the ones that we're asking the students specifically to understand and sign. And then also have an idea of what this new Gmail-oriented environment looks like. And the parent and student education is going to continue throughout the year in preparation for our true one-to-one, which is going to be in 2014-2015. Back to you.
Thank you. That pretty much covers next year. We're looking at 14-15, and again, this is when the park rollout will happen. First thing we're going to look at is, and this is kind of boring stuff, but virtualizing our server environment. We've got about just under 30 servers in production right now in the district. It's a lot of hard work, it's a lot to maintain, and it's costly. And this will bring us more in line with current standards for server and hardware environments. So what a virtual server environment will do for us is unify those 30 different machines down into a single hardware platform. So it will definitely shrink our hardware footprint in the district. It will lower our costs for replacement of that equipment. And it'll also lower things like power consumption for all those of that equipment or cooling requirements, as well as freeing up a good deal of space for us. So it's been a long time in coming. I wanted to do this for the last couple of years, but hopefully in 14-15 we can make that a realization and start to kind of create a more efficient environment for our servers and one that will be a lot more cost-effective moving forward. And then, as Christina and I have talked about, the Hadley one-to-one, and in 14-15, the model that I showed previously is going to shift. We're going to lose those 550 netbooks that we're on a three-year lease, and they're going to go away. We will retain the 550 that we're going to move over from the grade schools for one more year, so that will help us supplement them. But I think when we're looking at that through the course of next year, we're going to explore other options for what's the best and most efficient way for us to acquire hardware and get hardware in here for our students to use. And one of those things would be a bring-your-own-device plan, an option where students would have the option to bring in their own hardware, whether it's an iPad or a laptop, and we would get a detailed recommendation for what kind of hardware you would need or the student would need. But that would be something we look at, and this will help us be prepared for the park assessment. So as I said, that's something that runs twice a year. It's throughout the district, and we have a relatively short window of time to accomplish that. It's only about 2 weeks. And when you're looking at each student testing for about 8 to 9 hours, we're going to need the equipment to be able to do that while still being able to have some technology used for day-to-day instruction. So that's going to be a big project for next year. Again, we hope to completely implement Google Apps throughout junior high. And again, the benefits of that would be everything's online. All you need to be able to do is access the internet to access your work, communicate with your teacher, or communicate with your fellow students. And then we'll be looking at a Google Apps pilot for the 4th and 5th grades to expand that even a little bit more. So again, a very closed and limited environment, but begin to break that out beyond just the junior high. Copy refresh and the final phase of the PE recommendation. Copiers are on a natural 3-year cycle. Every time they come up for refresh, we analyze the meter reads. We see how much use they're really getting, what kind of equipment we really need. So, of course, we'd evaluate that again in 14-15 and then look to bring a recommendation to replace those copiers. 14-15 will also be the final phase of the elementary PE recommendation, which we would have already hopefully put in the projection systems, and this would add an integrated sound system, again, just for general use in PE class, but also for bigger district events or community events that we have in those spaces as well. Projector refresh. By 14-15, a lot of the projectors, which are already kind of aging, it was a very long cycle that we implemented the projectors rather than the smart boards where we did that over 2 years. Projectors kind of got slowly phased in over about 5 years. So we've got some aging equipment out there. There's some newer, better technology to better meet our needs. We'll start looking at refreshing that probably within a 2-year phase again. Again, it helps us to unify our hardware rollout as well as any replacement parts or service that we need to have for that equipment. Hadley device and iPad refresh. The iPad rollout has also been kind of staggered as we became new and we started to invest in some. So we'll have to kind of corral that and figure out, well, how many do we have and at what point were they bought and how many were leased and how many were bought outright. So by 15-16, we'll probably refresh that whole fleet or at least a tablet or some kind of technology like that if we don't land on the iPad. But that'll be something we'll have to keep an eye on as far as refreshing as well. And the Hadley devices. So every year as we go to a one-to-one, we'll have to look at some kind of collection of devices that we'll be able to provide our students that have it. At least to our sixth grade, our entering sixth graders. So that's something that we'll always look at every year. That'll be something we'll evaluate and look at every year to decide what's going to, again, be the best way, the most efficient way for us to acquire technology for our students. 15-16, we also might have to look at our core switching equipment again. 5 years ago, we replaced that. We may not replace everything, but we may need to upgrade some of the core equipment, maybe expand on that a little bit. I'd like to integrate our voice over IP system into that core equipment to then eliminate some of the other switching equipment that we have that just runs that. So while it's not a definite replacement of everything, we'll probably need to upgrade some of that equipment moving forward. That's it. Any questions?
Thank you, Mike. I would like to just make one comment that when we renewed the long-range plan and Goal 3, technology has not been a separate goal in our previous long-range plan, but in this long-range plan, we believed it needed to be its own goal, that a great deal of emphasis would need to be placed on technology as we moved our learning environments in the paradigm to 21st century learning. And so Mike's 3-year plan really lays out for you the infusion of a great deal of technology soon and then working towards that bring your own device and a one-to-one in the 2014-15 school year. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that great organization.
I have a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like we're digitizing a lot of things, student information online, FOGATs, database, all that stuff. I didn't see a lot about security up there. Are we taking the right security precautions as we digitize everything to ensure that we're not getting hacked or attacked or kids don't have access to data they shouldn't have?
And that will be something we'll definitely have to look at and probably bolster when we look at a bring-your-own-device. Anybody that brings something into the network, just like you bring in your laptop, you gain access to the internet through us, but you don't necessarily gain access to our files here, our network. But that is something that it's a good point. Yes, security will have to be looked at on an annual basis, as we do already, and it will probably have to be shifted a little bit in how we've secured our network to this point, because it is going to be a shift for us as well.
Yeah. And even waiting before we do these other things, it just seems that every year security changes and there are new ways to do things. So I assume that's a part of your plan, but we need to make sure that we understand.
Sure.
The good thing I was going to ask is on the help desk calls. So they went up 47%. I don't know where we are on the maturity curve of ITIL or whatever, but are we doing root cause analysis to understand those calls and providing the right job aids and training folks in the buildings and so that we can continue to not see that volume increase and people actually...
Sure, sure. And I think a good portion of that is just this sudden infusion of all this new technology that's coming. A lot of the calls are coming through the help desk, honestly, they're PD-related calls. They're things that some PD will resolve over time. And I think, again, as teachers are using this technology more and more, and at this point, our teachers have done a great job and come a long way in the last 3 or 4 years in their investment in using technology on a daily basis. So I would see a lot of those calls going away just based on the PD that will be planned for teachers moving forward. For the most part, I don't see trends with technology that doesn't work. We had some bad printers, so we saw some trends with those. But, I mean, aside from that, we don't really see a lot in the way of, well, this is constantly broken. But, you know, all that technology is going to bring home. And there's also students that are also going to need help from us from time to time. So,
is that, are those, that help desk, is that part of the new people we put in the separate from that?
They solve the help desk calls. So anyone in the office can take care of it, but those staff members that are in the building.
In the buildings are the ones that are doing the resolution, so the ticket gets open and gets sent to them, and they go...
Primarily, right. I mean, we also help close tickets here, but the lion's share of those are done by the staff out in the buildings that are working there every day. Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the Unifor platform. Are we looking at cloud at all, or is that already something we're doing?
Yeah, well, that would be the Google Docs solution.
Be in the cloud then.
Right. That'd be our cloud solution for storage, collaboration, creating the product. It offloads it from our local server environment and let them house that. And it'll be something, again, that's accessible from anywhere. And as far as security concerns, that's more of a Google security thing than us. So that'd be something we'd have to also keep an eye on that end.
So are we virtualizing any service now? Or we...
No. No, we've not gotten to that point yet. That's my goal next year.
Right, thank you.
Thank you, John.
Mike, you talked a lot about the mobile technology, and the high school in Glenbard just passed a resolution to move to
one-to-one
mm-hmm. iPads. So I'm glad to see us moving in that direction, since the children, when they get to West, will have that opportunity to be able to use it. I mean, the truth is most of our kids are more tech-savvy than their parents and clearly their grandparents, so it's nice to make sure that we're in line with what's going on in the high school.
Mm-hmm. I just, as a follow-up to that, a full application for Google Apps for 6th and 8th grade, I was thinking is similar to, at least for West, first class, but I think that's across 87, where they can come home, capture documents that they've saved at school, et cetera, so it's all done within, no flash drives needed and that type of thing. Because I know at Hadley, a couple years ago, we handed those out for kids and tested that process, and I know that got to be a little frustrating for the kids if the flash drive didn't work or they lost their work, et cetera. You know, we knew the three-year plan was coming for technology, and, you know, we've seen that. I said it on finance tonight to kind of get my head wrapped around this as well. But what this is really saying, and I think is important for me, so I want to put it out in the airspace, is as we have looked at the long-range plan, especially when we started the 21st century conversation, which was really two years ago, you know, with the robustness, but even before that, that the reality is our children are, you know, currently learning in a different way, but really, especially as we get to 2015-16, the recognition that our faculty and staff also have ramped up those skill sets. So I'm glad to hear that staff members are doing what John pointed out, which is to call and use technology and ask the questions, et cetera, because it means they're testing systems as well. Mm-hmm. And that was a big question for the board when we did smart boards. I remember, Dan, you asking, is it just like a high-tech, you know, blackboard or whatever? But no, in fact, it's really, you know, pushing learning at that level so we can facilitate learning with the kids who, to Tara's point, are coming in already knowing all this. So while it feels, and maybe to the audience as well, overwhelming, there's this recognition that we will be behind if we don't acknowledge that alignment to where we are in terms of what the kids are doing anyway. So, yeah, it makes sense. So thank you.
One of the other things I should point out about Google Apps is it's a free service right now. So
mm-hmm.
It allows us to offload some storage responsibilities at no cost to the district.
And I don't know if other schools are using it. I mean, I think they are. But I don't know
if
you did any references with other schools.
Quite a few schools are using it.
You did some references with them.
I haven't done references, but I have done some research, but I can open to some references as well.
I don't know if this fits in here. I'm maybe a little old-fashioned in this, as, you know, as I'm continuously reminded by my kids. You know, I didn't let them have an Xbox until they were in high school.
Use that to get to Google Apps, too.
All the other evil things that I did from a technology perspective. But, you know, when I think of our learner characteristics, I mean, some of these technologies, quite frankly, can be addictive. and can lead to, I don't know, some behaviors that maybe most people are okay with. But do we invest any professional development in teaching the kids about the devices and when it's appropriate to use them or not to use them?
That's really going to be my focus around the student AUP, is to help students really go through that process of examining their own use of technology and what the expectations are within the school environment. And that can carry into the home as well. I mean, we want to partner with parents in that whole rollout and help them understand what this means that their students now bringing home this new device that perhaps they didn't have access to their own technology before.
Which is going to be particularly important, too, to your point, for our children that don't have access to internet at home, can't afford it or don't have access to it for any number of reasons. And this whole kind of rollout of one-to-one device that they can have access to it and can get work done at home versus coming in earlier needing Wildcat Workshop or whatever it might be, especially at Hadley. So, you know, I think we have to be conscious of that we have a significant population that currently does not have access at home.
Yeah, I think it's most important for those students.
Yeah.
You know, it's how business is done now.
Right.
It's through technology. So I think we'd be doing our students a disservice if we didn't give them access on a regular basis here to technology. Moving forward out to West and into the job market, the ability to know how to use technology is going to be key to success in most any field.
Mike, I had a real quick question. And it's apparent that you've done a lot of work with this. And this is a fine report. All of the technology that you're thinking in terms of from a budgetary standpoint, is that all reflected in Bob's 10-year budget projections?
Yeah, actually, as Bob projects his budget out 5 years, so do I. And Bob and I talk regularly about what I see coming and how we fit that into the budget, and I do the same as he does. I project mine out 5 years so they align, and we can both plan accordingly for that. So, yes, we do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, that's it for presentations. Action items are consent agenda. Thank you. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes human resources personnel report, employment recommendations, leave of absence, resignation and retirement, reemployment or release of probationary non-tenured teachers, resolution authorizing notice of dismissal to non-tenured teachers other than final year. Other matters, which include the approval of board meeting minutes from March 9, 2013, special meeting, March 11, 2013, regular meeting, March 11th, 2013, regular meeting, closed session. April 1st, 2013, special meeting. April 1st, 2013, special meeting, closed session. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second? Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you. Superintendent recommendations.
First recommendation, I'm trying to get back into my board book.
Opt-out.
The printer recommendation. And, of course, Mike alluded a little bit to that in his overview of the three-year plan. Any questions on that?
No. All right. May I have a motion? The printer recommendation, let me read it. At its March 11th meeting, the board discussed a recommendation for replacing district printers, which included the acquisition of 310 HPM 401 printers and 11 HP CP 4025 printers from Tiger Direct through a five-year fair market value lease with American Capital Leasing. The estimated annual cost of the lease will be $19,391.94. At the end of the lease, the printers will be returned to the leasing company. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
I don't remember this at finance, but Mike, I'm glad you showed the savings. Shows that you were looking at some analysis of use and whatnot. And so I didn't know that before, but now that I see that, I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, we're taking a look at things as time goes on and see how uses change.
Yeah. The other thing, Mike, you brought up, just to clarify it, is that the that we operate through a state system in terms of capturing the best cost, right?
Correct.
So we kind of bundle those bids, et cetera. And,
right.
Okay. All right, good. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr.
Black? Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Kenwood?
Yes.
Rondrack?
Yes.
Yes. Item two, the purchase of the STAI, STAI system for Skyward True Time implementation. At its March 11th meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to purchase time and attendance terminals at an approximate cost of $20,132 that will work with the district software system to streamline time reporting and payroll matters for custodial, maintenance, lunchroom supervisors, and food service personnel. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion.
Talked about this at finance. Seems to
right.
It's just another module that fits within some of our existing software, so just kind of streamlining, making everything work together better. Okay.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Rondrack?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mrs. Black?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Item three. Approval and adoption of resolution regarding an offer to purchase the property at 1825 College Avenue, Wheaton, Illinois. Several board members were able to attend the community forum held on April 3rd and listen to the community feedback related to our desire to acquire property from Wheaton College. Board members have not had a chance to discuss their reaction to those comments. We will entertain a motion first, followed by a second, and then discussion. We'll focus on any board comments or questions related to taking action on the resolution to make a formal offer for the property at 1825 College Avenue. This offer is separate from pursuit of eminent domain and is made relative to a professional appraisal with hope that Wheaton College would reconsider its stand. May I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
So,
go ahead.
I'll go first.
Go ahead, Sam.
For me, it comes down to really a single issue. And in my personal opinion, it's portables and the need to eliminate the portables. So, in my mind, we had to have a plan. And have a plan that would accommodate all the students in the portables and would also get support of community. Because the way I look at it, we need to have a plan, and we need to have partners. We need to have a partner to acquire some property, and we need to have a partner to actually build on the property. So it's more of a three-step process, I guess. So it would be naive to think that the board that has sit here and the fire boards have not looked at many options and probably all the options that were available and are still available. Personally, in my mind, this was the option that had the best success in my mind to eliminate the portables and to get approval of the voting population. However, after having gone through the community forums and having discussions with various other members of the community, it has become clear to me that we may not have partners in this proposal. We may have to look at other alternatives. Or we may have to do something different altogether. So my concerns, I guess, would be those. The ultimate goal for me would obviously is to eliminate the portables in every school. And we all know that it would also be naive to think that we don't have an overcrowding problem in the schools. 32 portables for 10 years is long enough, I think. And I think even those of us who don't agree would have to accept that the population is what it is, and it's what it's going to be. and our facilities are what they are, and we need some sort of resolution. So this was an option, and I guess we'll see where we go from there.
Thank you, Sam. Comments?
First, I just want to acknowledge I was unable to attend last week's meeting. For the record, I teach on Wednesday evenings at the College of DuPage. So once again, I'm an educational partner within this very community. And so I was unable to attend. However, I had the opportunity, thankfully, to read through the comments that were collected. I've been the recipient of quite a few emails, phone calls, stopping in the grocery store to ask questions and to get, you know, feedback, both from community members with children no longer in school, no children in school, parents whose kids aren't here yet, staff members who happen to also live in our community. And it was, very enlightening to me, yet honestly somewhat disappointing to hear the particularly in reading the comments and the lack of understanding and knowledge of the facilities issue that this district has battled for over 10 years. I've been a member of this board for 8 years, and every year, at every meeting, at every public opportunity, the issue of our facilities and the number of students sitting in trailers is discussed. To have members of our community or neighbors suggest that we sat and done nothing just sort of solidifies the fact that people are not following what's been going on. I guess the one thing, the takeaway for me in this, and again, you know, I look around the room and I see parents who've been partners with us for a long time on even just this facility issue, a new parent whose children will be attending our school, but then I look at everyone else and I think you haven't been with us, and I'm hoping that this is an opportunity for all of you to get involved, to follow along, to sign up for e-news, to attend our public forums, to read our master facilities plan, and to get involved, because the comments that I'm reading are the same ones that we've been hearing for years, and they're the same solutions that our master facilities committees have gone through and eliminated. I just wanted to remind people that a few years ago we had, once again, our master facility plan that was call out. We had people from all over our community engage with us to come up and help address some of our facility issues. Mm-hmm. And a board member, Jack Kaler, came out of that. He ran for the board. He got involved. He sat on the committee, and he actually was somebody who tabled the facilities discussion, brought it back to the board. Mr. Solak, who was the chair of the finance committee at that time, they spent over a year, again, going through every nook and cranny idea that has come out from the community and come out from that facility study and brought back to the board what we could do. So I welcome all of you to get involved outside of sending an email and showing up this evening. I love seeing all these people here because it means you care, and I welcome you to continue to care and be a part of a solution that our community can embrace, because this community is better than that. And to accept trailers without bathrooms that are not state-of-the-art facilities in our community, you should find that to be unacceptable to all of you, because I know I have for the past 8 years, but unfortunately, every referendum that we put forward that dealt with that, the community has not supported it. I'm really not sure what else to do anymore. So I welcome and I hope another community engagement. I look forward to, you know, parents with new students in the schools getting involved again, because, again, there was nothing new that came forward. These are all the same things that we talked about. And finally, I am no longer going to be on the board in about a month, and I feel it's important for our new board members who will continue to carry this facilities torch again, to be a part of that. And I know that they are, and they're going to be, but, you know, I feel it's important for them and our new superintendent to continue to address these issues. We, as board members, inherit the past, whether we want it or not. It's what we get when we get here. So I would like to make sure that they're in a good position to be able to move forward with whatever the community hopefully will come forward and speak to us, and we welcome them.
Thanks, Tara. Other comments?
No, I just wanted to comment. I know we've got a lot of questions or a lot of comments from people. We've gotten a lot of emails, and you know, I've read all of them and heard all of them. We've gotten some questions as to, you know, why we're pursuing this, and as Tara said, we've looked at lots of different options. The referendum in Hadley failed for a number of reasons, be it adding fifth graders, putting 1,600 students plus at you know, what is a 14-acre site there, whereas Lombard South is, you know, a whole high school on 30-some acres, and as we've had some people here talk, they've built new schools on 35 acres out in Warrenville. You want a larger spot, and so we had looked around, and another thing that we've seen here in Glen Ellyn, we've had other parents say, the reason they like to live here and raise children here, if they walk to the train, large wooded lots, and their children walk to school. And so the other thing we were looking for is one way to maintain that if we were to build another elementary school, because we do own land at Spalding, but primarily there wouldn't be too many students that would walk to that school if we built it. And I went to that school in the 70s and before we had the big downturn, and in the late 70s when District 41 decided to start closing its 8 elementary schools, the first two to close were the outliers, were Glen Oak and Spalding. And I'm afraid if we built a brand new school there and all these issues come to pass of a downturn, nobody's going to want to close a school that their kids walk to go to the new school and get bused there. And I think it'd be hard to pass a referendum to do that. So, you know, in looking at all the land out there, that's why we saw this property as something that might be viable for a school that was still very close to Hadley. If we were able to make it a new Hadley, the reason would be it would be basically the best value in building a new building, because you get basically everyone in the district would get to be in a new building, and making Hadley an elementary school would provide room to grow if we did see a bump in enrollment. So in the long run, if it were available, it was really a good solution given the other ones, the other repurposed schools that have been out there like Glen Oak and Main Street really weren't. It would cause a dysfunction in how big some of the schools are now. And the thing to get is we're not really building a new school and then looking for growth to come and get it. We've already got portables. The teachers who are in those would just go to a new building. The janitors we hired to clean them at night would come. And I mean, you may hire a new principal, but it's not like there's a huge new administrative function and that we're looking for new students to come. We don't know what's going to happen with the enrollment going forward. What we've seen relative to other communities, though, it's been very steady at 3,600. We're past some kind of boom-bust period from the way things were before. And, you know, we're seeing empty nesters replaced with families with school-age students in a very fast turnaround that you're not seeing in some of the other communities that may have homes that are at, you know, much smaller, and the property taxes aren't as much. And again, not to ramble on here, but, you know, your property taxes aren't high because of what we spend. There's a lot of reasons to go into it. Our tax rates are pretty much in line with Lombard, District 89, and a lot of other communities around here. So, but getting back to why we looked at this property, that was the main reason. We also saw that, you know, it was possibly, you know, it had been looked at for a school before in the late, you know, after it was purchased by Wheaton Christian, so we knew that at one time Wheaton College had entertained that plan somehow. I'm not sure what happened and why they ended up doing some other things. We've seen the building really not have any new improvements made to it in the last 15 years. We know there are some nonprofits housed there. And so we thought it would be good to understand what it was worth and then make an offer to Wheaton College on it, because for our purposes and for the purposes of all the children in this community and the taxpayers, it would have been a solution we felt the community could all get around. So I'm comfortable with the assessment that we had. I know we've talked a little about what things are worth. It's hard to say. We've only talked about square footage. The properties also have improvements on it, given the fact, you know, the old Eden Christian School, I'm assuming that wasn't torn down when it was purchased, that it's still being used as a building. The other large property in Wheaton, as was discussed at the forum, was the Hubble School, and that was 22 acres that went out to a true public bid. Originally, Wheaton District 200 had asked for a minimum $10 million bid. They got no bidders. They lowered it to $5 million. Again, this was 22 acres. They weren't all buildable. They got one bid for $5,200,000, and of that, the Park District basically was spending $3 million of that to keep the gyms and the other fields. So that is a large 22-acre parcel in Wheaton that was just sold in the last year, and you know that was something else we were looking at with our assessment to say we think the offer we've made is in line with the market prices. But I think we all realize that Wheaton College is a private institution. It's their asset, and you know they can, you know, do with it what they want. But that's just giving you some of the thought process of what we were looking at over the last couple of years here, going through all the possible things we had. We definitely could add build onto the current schools and replace the portables, but really in 10, 20 years, if the enrollment goes up or down, we're going to get the same criticisms as to the boards that sold off the other schools. Why were you not planning for things? We also don't want schools that are 800 or 900 students in them if we do tend to go up. So we don't know what's going forward. But, you know, tonight I think we do end up doing a bid or a proposal here to Wheaton College. I think it's a fair proposal based on the appraisals that were done. And again, I won't be on the board going forward, so this is a process that probably another board and a new superintendent will have to look to pursue. But and we can talk about that. But I feel comfortable in the way that we have gone about our thought process here and what we wanted to do for the children of the district and for what we've heard, you know, parents in the district look for in terms of a new school. So.
I was just going to build quickly on Steve. Sure, I mean, I'm finishing up my 4 years on here, and when I first came on board, we were deep into getting going on this conversation and going through. I mean, I sat through all those meetings of 20 different options. We had boatloads of options to go through, and we ground through. You know, it was like Survivor. We vote one out every week or so, but we would go through all the options. You know, people would just say build on. And one of the things I remember about building on is, you know, it would be nice. You don't have to do boundary changes or anything, but the amount of construction you need, you couldn't finish it in the summer. And so then it was a question of, okay, what do we do? You know, what do we do with the kids? Do we get a swing school? Do we bus? Does each school bus all the kids around for a year? You know, I hate to hesitate to think that havoc the community would have on that, you know, alone. So, you know, and we still got all that data and all that information. It's all available if anyone ever wanted to look at it. You know, so we're going through this. We're looking at, okay, what is the, you know, minimal disruption? What would be the easiest to implement to get going forward? And so now I think now we're seeing, you know, as Sam said, you got the plan. You're looking at the land. But now, you know, there's that community part. You know, what can we get the community behind to support the referendum? So I think that's pretty much where we're at, is looking at the full package together. So, you know, I just want to be successful. So, you know, I'll be going off. So I want to see, you know, what is going to be fast, what's going to be good for the kids, and what's going to be successful.
Yeah, I'm not a real estate agent. I'm not in this industry. I have no idea what the land is worth. I do know that Wheaton Christian could really help our community out. By working with us, to try to find us, sorry, Wheaton College, could help us out, help the community out tremendously, and to work with us to try to find a solution, perhaps, or maybe work on alternative solutions where it could be an East Campus, a school, and we all somehow benefit as a community and as educational institutions to help everyone out. But to that end, you guys are in a great position to help us out significantly. And perhaps conversations as opposed to non-conversations would be a better way to approach this. And as someone that lived through the potential conversation that we tried to have with the Park District around collaborating on some land and some facilities that we could share and share the burden of the cost around the community as opposed to doubling it, now, that didn't go well. It's just frustrating sitting up here not being able to work with other agencies to make something happen. And there are folks in here, you guys all have energy. No matter what we do, there's always energy. There's always, I don't know if there's a physics professor in here, but there's positive energy and there's negative energy, no matter what we do. And I guess my appeal to you guys is the energy folks, everyone in the community, help us get the energy around trying to solve this problem. Because it's not, we don't want to do something the community doesn't want to do, but we have a responsibility here. And I can't tell you whether the community honestly wants to do this or not, because, you know, that's the hardest thing to tell as a board member. There's certainly enough energy in this room that says we don't want to do it. But we need to solve this problem in a way that works for the community. And that's a lot of what being a Christian is about. So whatever energy we have here in this room, let's use that energy and, you know, help us find this problem. We get emails. Did you guys think of doing additions to the schools? Yes, we did. We didn't miss that one, guys. Okay. Did you think of doing this? Yes, we did. Maybe there's one we hadn't seen. So we're open to suggestions. We want to solve the problem. And let's try to do that in the most positive energy way that we can. I think for me, that's sort of been my frustration now, is to try to move this forward. So.
Thanks, John. I did attend the forum on Wednesday night, and I want to thank the folks that were there for coming back and coming to our location and being part of our business meeting. I know the technology thing wasn't the most sexy conversation to have, but you get a feel, I think, hopefully, for the commitment that the district has around educating its children. And that can only be a good thing. So I thank you for being here and listening to that. You know, last Wednesday night there were some themes that came up, obviously, in terms of the conversation: expensive legal costs, high tax rates, look at other alternatives again, referendum won't succeed. And the board, certainly the administration, has received a lot of emails last week, over the weekend, certainly today as well. And we thank you for writing. I mean, I, you know, want to lift up every board member's voice already to say, we'd much rather have people in the seats and having some emotion around this versus, you know, a blank wall to look at and be just talking to each other. So we thank you for that. Some of the speakers last Wednesday characterized their comments as strong, and, you know, I don't deny that they were at times. And some of the emails we've received have equally strong verbiage in them. Again, asking us to reexamine options, be the voice of the taxpayer, seek other property to consider. And there was an interesting one because it asked us if we are people of faith. And I'll speak for myself and say yes. And in fact, I offered up a very long prayer before I walked in here tonight. So I would say to you that my one takeaway, and I want to share this with other board members, I think I've talked to a couple folks about this, but the thing that was deafening to me in many of the emails and even comments on Wednesday night was the lack of question around what do the students and children need? What are the program needs? What's our population like at this point? We were talking in Finance Committee tonight about Churchill School and providing breakfast because we've hit 40% of our student population at Churchill is now on free and reduced lunch waivers. And so by federal government standards, we need to provide that. you know, it's an interesting district because I think it's a population where there's a community in Glen Allen that has a vision of our schools, and yet we draw from populations in Carroll Stream and Glendale Heights and Lombard and Wheaton that bring, you know, an additional beautiful mix to our schools. And I think we all know this, both public and private schools are part of the social fabric of the community and a really important part of why we're all here tonight as well. So we have a fiduciary responsibility, I think you heard tonight, and if you've been paying attention since March of 2010, we've been cutting the budget. We took out $2.8 million, cut back 11.1 positions in the district, have done, I think, a really impressive job under the leadership of Dr. Reebok, Bob Cicerella, and our staff to be good stewards of those dollars. Some people may not agree with that. I'm happy to have that conversation. Last year, we abated $2.7 million back to the taxpayers of Glen Ellen. So I think it's important, you know, when we think about this, I know that we know this, and I also understand that people don't always have that information. So I'm happy to have you here so we can share some of that. One quick thing I want to follow up on, and this ties into what John was talking about, but Pete Ladisek made some public comment at the meeting on Wednesday and commented on options that he felt needed to be revisited. So I reached out to him on Thursday morning with an email and, you know, welcome to have that conversation. So we're going to plan to try and meet at the end of this week and go over those options again. Pete was a part of the Master Facility Planning Committee. And to Dan's point, there's lots of good reasons why our land, like Churchill, which is floodplain, looks like we have a lot of acreage, but not necessarily buildable. So I want to let community members know, because that came up, talk to Pete. I reached out. He emailed back. And I want you to know the board's always willing. This is our responsibility, is to be open and have that conversation. And so, you know, this is what we want to do. Portables have to be addressed. It's by Illinois code. Every year we get a letter from the Regional Office of Education asking us, what's your plan? So this is first and foremost in our face all the time every year. And our master facility plan is, in fact, that plan that we report back to the state of Illinois and the Regional Office of Ed in order to do that. But we have another constituency, and we've, you know, raised that a little bit, but I want to just say it as a part of my comments and close, and that's the children. And the beauty, as we all know, of public education is that every single child, whatever they bring to the table, gets an education publicly. And we have teachers in the audience that know that you have children that come in and you wonder, can I get through to them? And you do. And part of that is the commitment that the district has made in terms of technology, program, and facilities. Programs drive facilities. And so that's been our guiding principle in these conversations literally over the last 10-plus years. So kids don't come to board meetings, but boards of education have to keep that voice and that little face in mind. And that's an important part of our conversation. So I want to lift that up. I know that Wheaton College recognizes that. You have a tremendous education program. We have some of your students who come and teach in our schools. And I want to make one thank you to Emily Gray, who's the executive director of World Relief. She wrote the very next day on Thursday, both to Ann and myself. I'm not sure if other board members received that email or not. But thanking us for the opportunity of the forum, what important partners District 41 has been with World Relief. I have, as a community outreach chair for many years in PTA, been a part of World Relief and worked with our refugee children to see them you know, be welcomed and grow immeasurably, and their gift to the district. So I think it was important tonight for all of us, board members, and I know, Drew, you want to say something too, that we were able to give a little bit of background, which, you know, the community forum was not a forum for that, but I'm so grateful that you came to the meeting tonight so that we could share with you some of where we live with this and who our voices are in addition to taxpayers and community members and teachers and parents, and we're all taxpayers as well sitting on the board here, that we have that other piece and those little faces and voices that we need to educate every day and take the park assessment and look at core, Common Core, and all those things that drive education so that our kids can be college and career ready and be accepted at tremendous schools like Wheaton College. So that's part of our charge, and I know you know that, but I wanted to be able to share that with that perspective.
That's what we'll see.
Can I just, given, as I listen to this, it's really, I mean, we've all talked about it, right? But in some respects, we haven't really had the opportunity to talk about it like this as a community and with Wheaton College representation here. So maybe there's an idea that we talk about holding off for a little while or something and see if maybe this type of discussion might bring us together to have a conversation. I don't know. It's something to that.
Well, I also think it's important that to emphasize what Erica said about the regional superintendent of schools. It's not as though we are doing this because we want to. It's we're doing it because we are required to do it. The portables cannot. I mean, we can't overemphasize that point. I think the portables cannot be a permanent solution. So, if for whatever reason we don't pursue this option, we have to keep going, and further boards have to keep going until the portables are gone. So it's not like we're looking for a fight. We're not. We're looking for a solution. And for a solution, as I said before, we need partners. And so we're looking for solutions. We're looking for suggestions. Anywhere we can find them.
I wanted to jump in here. And Tara, in my 4 years on the board, I've never heard you so eloquent.
Oh, I think that's
very
well a done. Backhanded comment.
You had a bad mistake.
I know. I said what I really wanted.
I tell you what, I need to talk about a little bit of the history, and I think Steve and I are unique in that we are products of the district. You know, Steve went to the Spalding School. I went to the grammar school literally across the street, of course. I can tell you, I know a little bit about some of the people who were on the board in the 80s that closed these schools. The two people I know were friends of my father, Robert Lindy, Bob Koff. They were, I talked to them about that. I mean, they at the time that they closed these schools, it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. We find ourselves years and years and years later with the aftermath of those issues. You know, I've been on the board for 4 years. I've been watching some of the master facilities things for 8 years. Tara's right. This has been going on for 10 years. The trailer question. What's the solution for the trailers? And that's been an overriding issue for at least my 4 years on the board. You know, and to all the people that were part of the Master Facilities event, I want to honor their contributions to going through these different options. You know, I was on the board when Jack Haler and Bob Solak tabled the discussion about facilities to go through all of those different options. There was an A series, there was a B series.
Still,
I remember that.
Still is.
The A series is the acquisition side. The B is the remodel and side. We went through it. We went through it at nauseam. Again, it's been pointed out. I mean, if there are other options, we're certainly open to that. You know, the issue is a priority issue. Is the community priority to address the trailer solution? Is that the community priority? 4 years when I got on the board, that was the overriding issue. We need to solve that issue. that, and that's been ongoing, at least since I've been on the board. And if that's not the priority, then we need to have a different community discussion. Because if that's not the priority, which I think it is, but if it's not, we need to realign what we should be doing. But I think what we really need to do is to figure out what our priorities from a community standpoint our portables, the trailers, the number one priority issue. However, I have to say, due to the complexity of these issues and my desire, and I believe the board's desire, to determine what that priority is, I would make a motion to table further discussion of the land acquisition at College Ave.
I will second it in the hopes that having this conversation allows us to potentially move forward and work together. Wheaton College is for Christ and His kingdom, and we are all part of the kingdom. So let's see if we can get together and have a conversation. So I would second that.
So, Mrs. Stecker, we have a motion to table the resolution as I read it earlier by Mr. Ellis and a second by Mr. Kenwood. Is there any further discussion?
Is there a need for required discussion?
No, but in case any board member would want to comment on the motion to table.
The motion to table would suspend the resolution in time. This is one quick.
For now,
wouldn't approve or defeat it, it would suspend it.
Right. It
means we will not act on it.
It would not be acted on tonight.
Any other comment? Roll call, please, on the second motion.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrat?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. All right, thank you. Item 4. Additional sections at Benjamin Franklin and Forest Glen Schools. At its March 11th meeting, the board approved class size targets, which are used as a guideline for planning purposes. Grades K through 2, 20 to 22 students. Grade 3, 23 to 25. Thank you for coming tonight. Grades 4 through 5, 25 to 27. Grades 6 through 8, 26 to 28. And 23 to 25 students per class in grades 4 and 5 in schools that have not made adequate yearly progress AYP for two consecutive years. The administration is recommending the addition of an extra section of second grade at Forest Glen School and the addition of an extra section of third grade at Ben Franklin School for the 2013-2014 year. This is a one-year recommendation for the purpose of implementing content specialization at grades 2 and 3 at all elementary schools.
I have to step off.
Go ahead, Tim. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Motion.
Second.
All right, discussion. And this is aligned with the content specialization that we just approved as a board, 3 weeks ago, I guess it was.
One of the amendments that we made to the recommendation surrounding the think tank implementation was to do content specialization at second and third grade because we knew that the board had an interest in consistency at each of the schools, and in order to do the content specialization at second and third grade at two of our schools, we request an additional section at those schools so that that can occur. And it, as I've mentioned, it would be a 1 year only because if the next year the recommendation for multi-age at level two, which is your 2-3, mm-hmm. then your ability to group students would change because you'd have more students in which to blend your sections.
Because even though you have odd at one grade and odd at the other, when you add two odd numbers, you're going to need
them. And if you have larger odd numbers, it makes it easier. When you have seven sections, or even five sections versus three sections, it's easier to make those adjustments that you may need to make. And when you only have three sections, you just can't do it.
So the way I interpreted this, two of the schools are handling this by having a teacher specialize in either, you know, literacy second grade and literacy third grade. And then the other school is handling this by just having a one class teacher teaches literacy and STEM, no specialization. And then the other two schools felt the need to add sections to make this work.
The schools that we're not requesting the sections for have larger sections and are able to, with that accommodation, make it work. But the schools that have only three sections at either the second grade or the third grade, you don't have any leeway to make that happen. So you'd have to have one teacher teach all subjects, and one teacher teach STEAM, and one teacher teach math. And, you know, we're requesting so we can have consistent implementation of content specialization across the board, those additional sections, so that you'd still have a STEAM teacher and a literacy teacher.
Okay, so the way I thought I read this, though, one of the buildings was going to have a teacher teach STEM and literacy. Did I read that wrong?
I don't believe we have anybody teaching STEM and literacy together.
Okay. And we couldn't work out the idea of someone teaching first grade literacy and then, second grade literacy and then third grade literacy?
Because of the sections, you don't have, if you have two sections, three sections.
It just didn't work mathematically.
It just didn't work mathematically.
All right.
So just to clarify, we don't have one teacher doing both for 1 year.
I'm going to defer to Karen. Karen?
That's what it says in here. That's
right. That's what it says. It's Churchill.
But I'm not sure, though. I think that's a Churchill teacher. I'm not sure if that's still the case.
Did it change?
I don't believe so. When I checked with Scott on Friday, he indicated to me that he did not. They would not do that. Everybody
was
either
going to be Okay. Yeah, I think that was an initial conversation.
Because the teacher wanted to teach both, so he was going to have two teachers teach both, and they came to agreement that they're not. They would be a literacy or a
state. So basically what we have in front of us is some older thinking. The new thinking is we're going to add sections. Everybody specializes at every grade, second.
So we're doing it a little differently. Okay.
Thanks for clarifying that, Karen.
Go ahead.
I just had a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I'm just curious where it's Franklin and Forest Glen, you're going to go. Where are they going?
Where the teacher's going?
Yeah.
A third grade teacher at Ben Franklin and a second grade teacher at Forest Glen.
Like what physical space classroom? I mean, it looks like Forest Glen has three portables built, so I see one.
And they would have been down one teacher next year? So it would go into that space, and Franklin would have been down one section next year.
So we got physical space.
We have physical space.
Okay. So it's consistent across all grades.
It's consistent in being able to do specialization.
Right. So I apologize if I missed it, but Lincoln, the literacy teachers at grades 2 and 3 will teach second and third grade?
Correct.
Now what about the STEAM?
That's grade level, because remember we're doing math by grade level next year because of the acceleration.
Okay. Anything else? All right, roll call, please. Sorry.
No.
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondrack?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you. Superintendent's report.
I'm going to forego my report this evening, given the time. I know
love
you miss that one, I do. The time of the evening, and we still have much left to discuss, and a closed session agenda.
Board reports.
Can you do the same thing?
Yeah, that would be great, because we've actually already heard a lot of Finance Committee stuff with the tech report, so thank you. Sam, anything on policy?
No.
All right. Okay. Very quickly, we did receive something in the mail.
Chair wants to do a report.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
I'm hoping to repeat my eloquent.
Have at it.
You had one time home.
I know. Yeah. Sure.
In 8 years. In 8 years.
And clearly, my, you know, other fire and brimstones didn't quite have the same effect. So I wanted to report back on the learning leadership team, which is transformed. I'm going to say transformed into what is now called Team 21. And we had our first Team 21 meeting last Thursday. There's some new members coming on. Some few people are coming off, but it was a large meeting, and it was the first meeting, and we reviewed the contract language and memorandum for Team 21, and the group, you know, talked a lot about follow-up questions, a little more information, identifying new norms, and we also had a lengthy conversation about being committed to frequent and accurate communications with all of our constituents, our staff, our community, our parent community, our overall community, and with that, one of the first major discussions that they had was that Team 21 has been charged with looking at increasing the length of instructional time for our students through a lengthened school day, and that they're going to be addressing that and talking about that during their summer meetings, and communication will come out as that discussion is going on throughout, hopefully throughout the summer. There was a call for membership for STEM STEAM committee that's going out to the teachers, and there was a discussion about our District 41 learner characteristics that will be assessed 3 times a year beginning next year, and how the students will be doing it online, they'll be doing it in the classroom, how that information will be shared with parents, how to communicate that to parents, and how that the encouraging it is for the students. And finally, there was a request made by the elementary music and art teachers to no longer refer to elementary art, music, and PA as the specials. And so from moving forward, they will be referred to, PE will still be physical education, but art and music will be referred to as the arts. It's okay. Very important to them, so thank you.
Not visual arts and performing arts?
Nope, it's just
the arts.
A lot of discussion about that. It's just the arts, PE. Keep it simple.
I don't know what you did to Drew, but he ran out of the room.
Thank you, Tara.
You're welcome.
Very quickly, I know we all get these briefs, but there's one that I think is important for the board to take a look at, and that's the Local School Board Governance and Flexibility Act. The NSBA, National School Board Association, has given us some background on it. I think it's worth taking a look at in terms of looking at the U.S. Department of Education and identifying where local boards, we all talked about this, the importance of flexibility of local boards for decision-making with its constituents. So I encourage everybody to take a look at that and be aware that that's coming down the pike in case we get a request to respond to it. And that's that. Discussion items, the amended budget.
Our first discussion item is the amended budget, which we've discussed in finance meeting, and the amended budget is coming to us as a result of the administrative spending cap. One of our budget items exceeded that 5% cap, and so we moved the administrative cost of leasing some of our equipment over to the technology budget. And so while being required to amend the budget to accommodate that change, we also have adjusted any other changes in the budget that have occurred this year. And so you have before you a fully amended budget. It will go on display, and there will be a hearing preceding the May 13th meeting when you'll be asked to take action on that, the amended budget. Any questions on that?
But you're saying some of this is just due to the way things are classified.
It is the way things are classified.
It's not really that there's been a huge increase in spending.
It's just the way
they're classified, and there's
exactly.
School code that says
if it does this,
so much
you have to do something
before.
Else. Yeah. Correct. You have to move it to another line item.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we just any changes that occurred in either our revenues or expenditures, which we would not have to amend our budget for. We've amended it simply because it reflects then a more true picture at this point in time in the year.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to clarify this. We have local revenues increased with our student lunch sales.
Our student lunch sales did offer us some increased revenues because it's been a very popular first year for
$400,000. Somebody's eating hot lunch.
Mark Horst isn't happy with
them there. Mark Horst was very happy with that.
Yay lunch. Well, it's good for the kids. All right. Thank you, Ann. Any other questions?
Well, I mean, it's a negative deficit budget because of the abatement of last year.
That's correct. That is why we have a deficit, is because of the abatement. This changes that deficit, but because our revenues and expenditures have been modified over the year.
All right. Thank you. Student fees.
Next item is the annual student fees we bring to you. We are not making any recommended changes in the student fees for next year, so we've held those student fees. I believe this is our third year, fourth year? At least our third year of holding student fees without any change.
It's pretty straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward. Any questions on
Sam,
student
comment?
Fees?
I've only been on the board a couple of years, and last year I made a point of questioning why we have fees, and I think I'm standing on an island on that, but I still feel that way, and I just want to make that clear.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, did you say you feel you're on an island and now you don't feel that way?
No, he's still on the island.
Still on the island.
I thought there were several of us that were on this island, not just you. So.
Yeah, I mean, free public education.
But we have fees, yep.
Well, maybe we should.
We can discuss that.
A discussion at a future date.
Mm-hmm. Or bring it to finance.
But they're user fees. They're buying your lock. Kids keep losing locks and you don't make them buy them.
It's a pass-through fee.
Some of your fees are pass-through fees.
Yeah,
not all of them. Yeah. But your kindergarten fee, your first through fifth grade, and your sixth through eighth grade are user fees.
They're user fees for services or other things. I mean, it's
participation in sports has a fee attached to it.
You have that at high school. You have to pay to pay to play.
Well, it doesn't make it right.
It doesn't make it right, buddy.
Students that can't pay can get labor.
Well, and then I would offer, let's have that conversation. Put on the agenda.
As I recall, the discussion last year wasn't so much about right and wrong. It just seemed like an inconvenience to pay your tax bill and then show up and write another check. It's just from a customer service perspective, it just didn't sit right.
I will tell you that one of the things, you know,
when it's a user fee, I mean, I get that, but it's just.
We actually talked this year about instead of sending school supply lists home for parents to bring in school supplies, adding that into this fee, and then we buy the fee, buy all those materials, and they're just kind of, you know, universal. But felt it was too late in the year to really look at that, and the PTAs kind of count on buying, you know, putting those together. So that is something that probably will come up again in terms of a user fee, is the supply fee, just charging it and then buying everything in bulk for the district.
Sure. Right. I made a note to put it on the agenda.
Thank you.
Okay. Item C, adoption of amendment to District 41-403B retirement plan.
This is a relatively simple resolution as well. We have not allowed people to transfer in their existing 403B, and this is simply an act to allow people to bring in existing, if they come into the district from another school district, to bring in their 403B and add to it here.
Yeah, I think our finance discussion, you know, I mean, seems like a no-brainer. There's no additional cost to the district.
No.
It's just another option out there for
Mm-hmm. It's really a service to our employees.
My only question was, are there any negative repercussions? And listed some that's been passed through the legal representation.
Yes.
So there's no reason not to do it.
There's no reason not to do it.
Staff, so.
Anything else? Hadley LMC technology refresh.
You had a chance to both... Well, if you were at Finance Committee, you had a chance to hear it through the Finance Committee reports, but also Mike alluded to it this evening in pretty good detail as it relates to the LMC fit, not only in the renovation of the LMC, but also in the three-year plan for upgrading and changing our technology at Hadley. And this will, you know, change Our labs moved them upstairs, so the art tech lab that was once downstairs will be moved upstairs to be part of the LMC. The we'll be adding a Mac lab for media creation, which is something that our LMC director is very excited about, and then increasing the number of mini iPads for e-readers and moving to an electronic basis in our library, mm-hmm. and giving kids that flexibility to come down and access technology for research and those sort of things. So it's a very exciting addition.
So if we did this, this would be implemented and available
in the fall,
coinciding with
the
renovation.
Renovation.
Correct.
Yeah, when we talked about the original proposal, we had all of everything was rolled up in there for the full cost of everything. So now you're just seeing the individual proposals come out.
That's great. Thank you, Dan, for mentioning that.
Anything else? And last one, elementary music department iPad proposal.
The you have lots of information associated with the elementary iPad proposal. They are very excited about being able to increase this technology in their curriculum. And, you know, what I would note for you, and I know you already know this, but as we've moved to, increasing the amount of time that our teachers have for collaboration with one another and creating a PLC, the music teachers have really served as leaders in that by developing strong assessments, working with each other, looking at student learning, and really taking music instruction to the next level in our elementary schools. And so they're very excited about adding this new technology into their curriculum and all that it will offer them.
Well, I know that two of my three children take advantage of the music program, and the third one doesn't because she can't. She's in kindergarten. My only question is, why did they come up with the number of five? Is it because there's five kids in each section during the practice times, or why did they just ask me for five?
Well, my guess is that they don't see it as being, and I'll let Mike jump in if he has other information, but they're looking at it as being gathering around group work together, that they're not going to be working with the iPad in isolation, but they'd be working as a small group together.
It's not
with
one,
it.
One-to-one,
no.
It's more of a group.
No.
Okay.
All right. And that's it. Anything
that's
else?
It. We'll bring all of these back for action at our April 29th meeting.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Upcoming meetings, April 29th, Board of Education regular meeting, 7:30 here at the Central Services Office. And May 6th, 2013, Board of Education special meeting at 7 p.m. at our Central Services Office. That is the board reorganization meeting when we thank our board members who are rolling off. And we welcome our three new board members coming on. And the board itself will reorganize in terms of leadership as well. So we welcome the community to come to that as well.
Is there an election coming up?
And we have an election tomorrow, so get up and vote. Vote, vote, vote. Any other matters to be considered by the board at this time? All right. Public participation. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time?
Have you given? You give a green sheet to?
Will you fill that out? Thank you. And again, if we can hold it to 3 minutes, because there's some other folks. Thank you.
My name is Dr. Bruce Chrisman. I was 8 years sitting where you were. I promised myself I would never come back. Because you don't want to hear about how it used to be. But a couple comments tonight I wanted to comment on. There was a comment about adding additions to schools and how that was problematic. When I was on the board, we added to Forest Glen. Mm-hmm. So I submit adding to schools in terms of the time is possible. I can't address the other issues that you worried about.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't accept that comment that I heard. The other comment I'd like to add is, Mr. Black, I believe you said you didn't like the fees. I'm glad to know that that fight still continues. That was my position at the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming back. Other
back
folks?
There was.
Are there others back here? Yeah.
Yeah. Can we just stand here?
Kristen, sure. Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. My name's Kristen Travers. I have two kids at Churchill and a student at Hadley. Last year I was involved with a group group of parents from Churchill that were concerned about the elimination of our full-time aide. And after hearing the technology presentation, I'm not quite sure if I'm missing something, and I just kind of want to put this on the record and for something for you to think about. Mm-hmm. We are investing tons of money into our technology, which I know we want, and that's the way we're going. Does it make sense to continue with a part-time technology aide at our school? As part of our presentation last year, we said that if you go through with this change, you're going to see an increase in tech tickets, which is our problem that we're having. Well, it was a huge increase in tech tickets, and why are we celebrating that? You know, I personally would like to know what the wait time is for teachers and students when they're trying to solve these problems, because we don't have a full-time person there. You know, our time is valuable. The kids' time, they don't have a lot of time. They're moving from different things. And if you spend 15 minutes trying to get on your internet or your whatever you have, your time is up. You know, you get on and then it's time to go to PE. It doesn't make sense to invest all of this money in our technology and not have a full-time person at our schools that are ready to help.
Thank you. Thanks, Kristen. Any other members who wish to present? Lori?
Hi, I'm Jennifer Rath. I'm from Lincoln. I didn't think I was going to talk about think tank, but I am, in light of the discussion on the additional class section at Forest Glen and Ben Franklin. We pulled this off online, and it's dated today. So I wasn't sure why you said it was dated, because it's dated today.
So it was older information.
Older information. Okay. As stand corrected. Okay. So I just wanted to clarify that it's not true that one teacher at each grade level at Churchill will be teaching both STEAM and literacy for next year. That was ironed out.
That's been
ironed out. Since this morning? Okay. And my only other question is, since I'm from Lincoln, the level two kids, if I was a teacher and I was assigned literacy, I would have a section of second and a section of third. But if I was a teacher and assigned math, I would have two second grade math and two third grade math every day, because I'm understanding that's not how it's being assigned. Teachers are being assigned 2-3 literacy or 2-3 STEAM.
That's a decision that would be made at each building, depending on their sections. What it isn't going to be is multi-age, but each grade is taught separately in the STEAM.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer, if you want to send that question or have that, you know, please send it so it can be clarified if it's not clear for you.
Okay.
It's school-based.
It's school-based, but you could check with Linda as well. It's Karen, who's back there. Thank you. Any other comments by the board? Yeah. Dan?
Ms. Nelson and board members and Dr. Reebok, thank you very much for this process. It's been educational for us. We appreciate Wheaton College and your allowing us to have a forum last week and have discussion. And each of you is very professional in the way that this has been handled. I truly do appreciate the discussions, and especially being here in attendance this evening. We still have our perspectives, we can much greater understand the challenge that you have in the district. And as one who devotes a fair amount of my time towards facilities, and facilities do follow programming. Programming is first and very foremost. I know that it is a large issue that you have, and we don't mean to understate that in the very least. And I know it's a significant one, and we would hope in some measure it's a dialogue on at some level, not in changing our position, but if there is some way that we can dialogue.
Appreciate that.
But thank you very much for your very hard work, and we truly do appreciate what you do for the community, and we hope and trust that we can continue to have just an excellent relationship. One thing that I was just very personally impressed with last week is, in spite of very one-sided discussions that went on last week, is the community loves the product that you provide. Academic excellence that the school district 41 provides to the students is unequaled. It really is outstanding. And I think, as difficult as it is for each of you to carry on your roles and responsibilities, I was extremely impressed that no community member had any issue really with the excellence that the school district provides. And to that, I very much commend you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes.
I am Spurgeon, and I just want to say thank you for your challenge for solutions. You should know that when you offer a challenge to an engineer, the brain starts to work, and I want to just submit this, and I'd be happy to work with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, Dan's an engineer. He's clapping for that. Yes.
I would just like to make a comment, kind of tailing on the last one that was made. It seems that you have a very difficult task ahead, and choices are limited. I came to some board meetings a few years ago when you were going exploring the Spalding site.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out for a variety of reasons, and then you were trying to expand on the Hadley site and that trouble there. I'm not sure that it's generally understood in the village the difficulties and the limited choices which are available and the difficulties the board has to do to work within these limited choices. I don't know how that can be more clearly understood or persuade the village membership of the difficulties that you're facing. But I think if the limited choices and the difficulties could be communicated through the papers more clearly, there might be some better understanding of the problems that the board has to face and the limited choices available.
Appreciate that.
You might get some of the public behind it a little more.
Thank you.
What you're doing.
Thank you very much. And you're welcome to come back. Thank you. Anything else? Any other comment? Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Sorry,
Amanda?
Just a question. What would be the best resource to go to if we do want to have more information on what exactly the population is in the schools now, what is forecasted to be, and what, like you said, that you have done due diligence on options from the past and where they've gone. So if we as a community member want to understand that more, where is the best place to go for that information?
Mm-hmm. Our website is the best place to go for information. We have not posted our previous master facilities plan from 2009, but we can do so and get that up on the webpage, at least in terms of the options that were considered.
I mean, I think I agree with you.
And our demographic study is up there as well.
Yeah. I'm definitely interested to learn more.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. If you go to about 41 and you go click on facilities, it'll show up right there, those links. There's four or five links to all this current information and the update on our demographic study as well. Thanks for asking.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much. The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters: the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity; the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired. May I have a motion to adjourn a closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Maureen, did you get that?
I did.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Devante?
Yes.
Mr.
Powell? Yes.
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes. Thank you very much, everybody. Pleasure to have you here. You are always welcome to come back, and we will be in touch. Thank you.